Good morning. If I was nervous, the peace and beauty of Trillium took that away from me. That was wonderful. That was wonderful. I want to thank Pastor Repke for asking me to share some thoughts with you. I pray that my words and thoughts will inspire and bless you and bring praise, honor, and glory to our Heavenly Father. My words come from the study, Pray Like This, Living the Lord's Prayer, by Steve Gaines. What's one word you'd use to describe your prayer life? For me, it's searching. For some, it's consistent. For others, it's lacking in consistency. How about relationship as a description of your prayer life? Prayer is a subject that is, or should be, close to the core of every Christian's walk with God. Despite that, many of us live with a sense of longing when we think about our prayer lives. We know we ought to pray. We might even desire to pray with greater fervency. Yet we aren't growing in our capacity for and our joy in prayer. In Matthew 6, 9 through 13, Jesus taught us what we need to know about prayer. When his closest followers ask him to teach them to pray, he answers with the model prayer, a text that still instructs Christ followers today in the discipline of talking with and listening to God. Today, I'd like to focus on the beginning of the prayer, where Jesus instructs us to address God as our Father. Through grace and faith in Christ, not only does he bring us into his kingdom, he brings us into his family. And we are now his adopted sons and daughters. Jesus said, I want you to do more than call him Father. I want you to call him Papa, Abba. Ultimately, what drives our worship, what drives our intimacy with God, is the sense of him being Father. It's only through Christ and the gospel that we actually come into a father-child relationship with the Lord. Father is a Christian name for Christ. When you connect with God as Father, you're looking for two things, protection and provision. God is a perfect Father. That's why we can go into the throne room through Jesus Christ and say, Abba, Father. The model prayer starts with our Father, not just my Father. The church is a family. He's the Father of our church, our family. Feelings never drive our faith. It's the facts of the Word of God. God is an intimate, loving, caring, long-suffering Father who desires a relationship with us. When I start my prayer with Father God or God the Father, that reminds me that he delights in me, that he welcomes me into his family, that I'm adopted. Once we know the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, we can go to him anywhere, anytime, about anything in our life. When people take prayer casually, it shows they really don't understand the urgency and the cost. Here are the words of Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Knowing that God is our Father gives us confidence to approach him in prayer. What does the word Father mean to you? Depending on your past, it might bring to mind images of care and protection. Conversely, it could bring up feelings of neglect and bitterness, joy, anger, rejection, affection. All these emotions are packed into the single word, Father. This is the word Jesus used to begin our model prayer, our Father in heaven. For me, the word Father brings back great memories. My father loved me dearly and taught me so much. He gave me my love for God's creation. He taught me to be a responsible hunter. He also gave me a strong work ethic and a servant's heart. My father owned and operated a small restaurant on Walnut Street in downtown Mansfield, across from the Leland Hotel. It was called Dick's Diner. All of us children worked there. My older sisters, Jean and Char, my brother Stan, and me. When we would get together later for family time, Jean, Char, and I would talk about the great memories of working in the restaurant with Dad. There was the money we earned from salaries and tips, the wonderful people we met and served, the lessons we learned about having a strong work ethic, and the customer service attitude that served us well later in life. Whenever we had these family gatherings, we would reminisce like this. One time, Stan said, "That's enough. I'm tired of hearing how great it was for you working in the restaurant. For me, as the youngest, it was anything but great. All I got to do was scrub potatoes, peel them, cut them into french fries, clean off the counter and tables, wash the dishes, sweep the floor, mop the floor, and clean the restrooms." We apologized, went on and on about how we didn't realize what it was like for him. After a while, he stopped us, said with a smile, "Don't feel too bad for me. I used to steal your chips off of the table." If each of us here today had the opportunity to speak, we would paint a wide variety of pictures of what our earthly fathers were like, some good and some bad. But the starting point for approaching God as Christ's followers is summed up in the single word, Father. That word is loaded with preconceived notions for all of us. Depending on our relationships with our earthly fathers, praying in this way can be either extraordinarily comforting or extraordinarily painful. Part of our growth in Christ, as well as our growth in prayer, involves recovering the meaning of this word as it is applied to God. What does it mean to call God Father? It means first and foremost, recognizing that addressing God like this in prayer is a unique privilege for Christians, because all of us have been born in sin. We're separate from our holy God. Far from being our Father, we're his enemies, opposed to him. For in our sin, we would much rather live under our own authority than his. But when we believe the gospel, he who was once our enemy becomes our Father. We who were once orphans are brought into God's family. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus and our belief in him, we have a place at God's table. The astounding reality for Christians is that our adoption by God doesn't have an expiration date. Once adopted, we're forever his children. And as Paul would say in Ephesians 1:3, God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavens. As our Father, God has held nothing back from us because he has given us everything in Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus wants us to begin our prayers with the word Father. When we do, we remind ourselves that God has made a way for us to be in his family. We remind ourselves of his abiding love and care. We confess that no matter what the circumstances might be in our lives, he's with us and for us. Regardless of what we've experienced from our earthly fathers, God is redeeming that word for us. So we can come to him over and over again, knowing that indeed he is our Father. Let's look at 1 John 3:1 and 2. How great is the love of the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. When Jesus told his first followers to address God as Father, it must have come as quite a shock. It wasn't the first shocking thing he said to them, for this model prayer came in the context of Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount. Jesus had warmed up the crowd with controversial statements about what it really means to be called blessed, and with the assertion that thinking badly of people is the same as killing them. But the introduction of the word Father took the sermon to another level. Judaism strongly held to the established belief that God was absolutely unapproachable. Was he to be loved? Certainly. Respected? Absolutely. Feared? Without question. This was a culture that couldn't even speak the revealed name of God. When people had to write it in scripture, they did so with great honor and respect. Some traditions say scribes broke their pens that they had used to write the name of God after they had finished. Enter Jesus, this strange rabbi who had no fear of or regard for the religious leaders of the time, and who spoke with unmatched authority. There he was on a hillside, talking about the revered God of Israel with an air of unmistakable familiarity. And that's just what God was going for. God's purpose wasn't to be disrespected or approached casually. Far from it. It was that God wanted to be in a relationship with his people that wasn't marked by fear, but by love. Not by apprehension, but by an appreciation of his grace and compassion. He wanted to be their dad. That's where the love of God takes us. John described it like this: "See what great love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children." 1 John 3:1. God's great love doesn't make us his servants. It doesn't make us the people he puts up with. God's great love makes us his sons and daughters. Once again, Father is a Christian name for God. A real father cares, he protects, he encourages, he advises. But above all, a real father loves, always and without condition. A real father waits on the porch to welcome home his children, regardless of where they've been or what they've done. A real father is proud of his children and takes no greater pleasure than giving them what they need. God has such an intense desire for fatherhood that he's willing, day in and day out, to adopt spiritual orphans from the world into his family. Father isn't a universal term for God, for not every human being is a child of God. God's family has only one natural child, and that's Jesus Christ. Everyone else comes into the family by adoption. God has brought us into his house, never to be put out in the cold again. That's what a real father does. Let's look at another scripture, Romans 8:14-16. "Because those who were led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." It's amazing and miraculous to think that we, as sinful humans, can know God as our Father. This reality could be accomplished only by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of the gospel, we now know God as Father, and he relates to us as his beloved children. God is very concerned that we understand and remember the nature of our relationship with him. For this reason, one of the primary functions of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of the reality of our Father's closeness. This function of the Holy Spirit is very different from the one many of us tend to think of. Many of us think of the Spirit of God as the voice in our heads that constantly stops us, tells us to stop doing what we know is wrong and to start doing more of what we know is right. We think of him as the source of the refrain of guilt inside our heads saying either no, 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 or more, more, more. While the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us to convict us of sin and righteousness, another big role is to remind us of our true identity. He's there to whisper to us over and over, you're a child of God. He's your Father. The word Abba points to the familiarity and intimacy God wants us to experience with him. It's a term of closeness. It's a term of love. It's not just Father, it's Daddy. And let's be honest, we need that reminder. We need to be reminded of God's fatherhood because of our overwhelming tendency to look at our circumstances and doubt whether it's true. We struggle financially. We undergo chemotherapy. We can't seem to overcome sin. We're tired and poor and unfaithful. And because we are, we often forget that God is our Father. So the Holy Spirit reminds us again and again. He reminds us when we're in the throes of temptation. Time and again comes the echo of the Spirit in our hearts. You're a child of God. When we reach out to God as our Father, we recognize that certain realities are baked into that designation. When we call God Father, we're implicitly saying he's loving. We're also saying he's a provider. We're saying he's wise. These are characteristics that all fathers, and certainly our Heavenly Father, should embody. But all fathers, other than God, fall short in all these attributes. They may want to be perfectly loving, they may strive to be faithful providers, and they may aspire to be perfectly wise. But fathers, like the rest of us, are broken people. Despite their best efforts, they always fall short. But not God. God is the Father who always makes right decisions. In Matthew 7, Jesus not only pointed out the difference between God and our earthly fathers, but he also used that difference to give us confidence in our prayers. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Christ's point was that God knows what he's doing and he's generous. But by implication, Jesus was also saying our good Father knows better than we do the difference between a fish and a snake. That's important because we often don't. For example, we might come to God in prayer asking for something. What we're asking for might be, in our view, the best thing for us. But because God is perfect in his wisdom and fatherhood, he knows there's another side to what we're asking that will actually harm us. In other words, we might think we're asking for a fish when we're actually asking for a snake. We might think we're asking for bread when we're asking for a stone. To approach God as Father is to acknowledge that he knows what's best for us. He isn't content to be our butler, simply giving us what we ask for when we ask for it. He's a good Father who not only knows the difference between a fish and a snake, and between bread and a stone, but is also so committed to our good that he will give us what's best. And he will do so even when we might not realize that what he's giving us is exactly what we need. If God is our Father, then we're his children. This is a wondrous reality, one the children of God should never get over. It's even more amazing to realize that God doesn't reluctantly hear from his children, but instead lovingly and enthusiastically welcomes us into his presence. This truth highlights another difference between our Heavenly Father and our earthly fathers. Though our fathers might be good and faithful men who strive to love, provide for and protect their children, they're also still men. Because they are, they grow tired and weary. Surely every father shares the experience of having been so tired after a long day at work that he didn't have the energy to laugh, play with, and spend quality time with his children. But not God. The prophet Zephaniah described God's posture toward his children in wonderful detail. Zephaniah 3:14-17. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands go limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The prophet began with an exhortation for the children of God to sing and shout with joy and not to hold back in their celebration. Why? Because God had removed their punishment. These words were originally applicable to God's discipline of his people in the Old Testament. They're also gloriously true of the people today who believe the gospel. The ultimate source of our ongoing, everlasting joy is that God has removed our guilt and shame through the sacrifice of Jesus. In doing so, he has also overcome our last and greatest enemy, death. God isn't ashamed for us to call him Father. Indeed, he celebrates over his children with gladness. He exuberantly welcomes us into his presence time and time again. And no matter how much joy we might feel there, it doesn't compare to the amount of joy he feels. Consider that for a moment. For a child of God, coming to the Lord in prayer is an opportunity to join God in celebration. Though we might come to prayer with a heavy heart, burdened by serious trouble, disease, or discouragement, we find our Father waiting there, exceedingly glad to welcome us into his presence. I'd like you to do something this week. Sit down with a pen and a paper, and go through the Lord's Prayer phrase by phrase. After each phrase, write down what that phrase means to you and what you think God's saying to you. And the next time you say the prayer, recall those writings that you have put down and what it means to you and what God is saying to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly, joyfully, and reverently come into your holy presence. Touch our hearts and minds. Help us realize that you need to be the center of our lives. Break down any walls that are keeping us from you. Please continue to build up and maintain a hedge of your power around us. Power to protect us from the dangers of this world and the attacks of Satan. Father, we want to offer our heartfelt praise to you. We praise you for your word, your wisdom, your power and majesty, for the awe and wonder you inspire. We praise you for what you did on the cross to give us your salvation and give us your righteousness. Please forgive us for the pain we caused you on the cross because of our sin. We praise you for your eternal being that you always were, are now, and always will be, and that you will allow us to live with you in eternity. We praise you for your mercy and grace, your promises and covenants, your kingdom, power, and glory. We praise you for Linden Road Church, its staff, its people, Pastor Repke, and its mission ministries. Help us to be people of the book and read your word every day. Make it the focus of how we live our lives. Help us take your word deep within our hearts, spirits, bodies, souls, and mind. Help us make your little word a part of who we are. And keep it before us throughout the day so that we can call on it when we're tempted to give in to our sinful nature, the choices we make to sin, any attempts the devil is making to keep us from you. Help us trust you with all our hearts. Seek you with all our minds. Acknowledge you in all our ways. Pray before we take any action. Walk humbly with you throughout the day. Diligently pursue you throughout the day. We love you with all our hearts, Lord. And we thank you for being our Heavenly Father and allowing us to be children of your kingdom and heirs to your kingdom. In faith, we ask for these things. In faith and love, we thank you and praise you for your answers to these prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I invite you to stand, and as our response to that, to be reminded with a great hymn that we know so well, but the words will be on the screen. This is Your Father's World. So please stand and join me.
This is my Father.